The Southern Gothic author Flannery O'Connor once wrote the following in her work, Mystery and Manners, Occasional Prose. There is something in us, as storytellers and as listeners to stories, that demands the redemptive act, that demands that what falls at least be offered the chance to be restored. The reader of today looks for this motion, and rightly so, but what he has forgotten is the cost of it. His sense of evil is diluted or lacking altogether, and so he has forgotten the price of restoration. When he reads a novel, he wants either his sense tormented or his spirits raised. He wants to be transported instantly, either to mock damnation or a mock innocence. Solve the World, a fictional adventure told in 100 episodes. Episode 99, Here. The Painted Forest. Jen is still dying, and this won't be enough. It can't be. It could never be. Not here. Not as long as I'm here. Jen is still dying. Now, she's walking in a spaceless realm, dying. Amidst the spaceless void, a tree emerges. It appears two-dimensional. It blooms high and out above Jen's head, with dozens of apple-like fruits ready for plucking. It's nearly impossible to see at first, but as Jen approaches nearer, she sees that the brown bark of the tree is not alone. There's a serpent, massive and brown, slithering around and around the shooting tree. Its body curls up and around the tree. Jen spots its head, nudging one of the apple-like fruits. Could it be an apple? It's purple. Until it falls. It drops directly in front of Jen. She picks it up, hunger urging her on. Before she knows it, she's taking a big old bite out of the foreign substance. It gushes sweet liquid into her being as she tears down on it. She hears a voice, as if coming from the serpent itself, say,
"Help, help, 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 help."
Jennifer Dash feels better. Now, she is not dying. She walks on. As she passes the tree, it evaporates. The serpent sticks its head and neck, long, out of the furthest limb and, like some sort of miracle, flies through the sky, gracefully. He soars slowly above Jen's head and finds himself a new home in a cluster of branches that's just starting to appear ahead. A new tree, with new fruit. Jen walks up and grabs the orange pear-shaped fruit from this new tree. As she bites down, her missing hand sprouts out, painlessly. She hears an echoed voice.
Homeless.
Her hand is back. Jennifer Dash is whole again. The serpent slithers on and soon is hovering in the air anew. A tiny thing, like a seed hatching on a time-lapse video, sprouts and grows 2 feet tall. The flying serpent hovers in a circle, mouth to tail, above the small tree. On its branches, little pink grape-looking things. Jen comes to it and pops a pink thing in her mouth. It's chewy and moist, like gusher-filled gum.
Voice.
Echoes something from above. The serpent stops spinning and makes haste, surfing the sky, heading towards the distance. It lands on nothing, sheer nothing, someplace far off. There, it grows. Like a worm, the worm that Poe wrote about, the one that eats the souls of men. But as it grows, its arms break out. It's not a worm, it's Leviathan, a dragon with 10 horns on its head. It's ghastly, it's foul, it's immense. The dragon, as large as the Empire State Building now, surely, roars out what Jen expects is fire. She's a long way off from the thing, so there's no urgent fear here. Not yet. Without realizing it, she's sauntering over nothing, still closer. Closer to the monstrosity in the non-line on the non-horizon. It's not fire that blasts out from the beast's belly through his mouth. No. Rather, everywhere the dragon roars, trees, of all shapes and sizes, all creeds and forms, arise and blossom. They form a grove. A forest. A pathway. Jen sees it now. She's walking on a path. A path separated by lines of trees. Trees unlike anything she's seen. Green bark trees with white fruit. Yellow leaves extending out from bright red wood. The forest reaches her. To her left and to her right, many fruits, the colors of the nations. Here. A voice from the distant dragon enters Jen's ears. As she passes each tree, she hears what the fruit does.
Energy. Curiosity. Awe. Courage. Spontaneity. Strength. Conviction. Certainty. Doubt. Knowledge. Humility. Beauty. Fear. Farsightedness. Prophethood. Faithfulness. Pride. Anxiety. Trouble. Eczema. Palsy. Headache. Frustration. Disturbed severity. Melancholy.
Trees without end. Jen is so distracted by the forest of ideals that she misses the serpent slash dragon's next transformation. You see, he's me. I am he. A big, slobbery St. Bernard flops through the forest and comes to my side, wagging his tail emphatically as I pet him. I stand on the path ahead of Jen. She walks towards me. She's here, and we begin. Walking stride by stride. Hello, she says.
Hello.
I say. Who are you?
I'm, affectionately known as the Walker. You know, we've met before.
We have?
Yep.
Really? I feel like I'd remember you.
I looked a little different.
Who are you?
Thank you. Do you like this place?
You're the Shining Man, aren't you?
No. She's not me. I am not him, okay?
Oh. What's your dog's name?
This is Zarathustra.
That's quite the name.
Once you get to know him, you'll see. No other name really fits him.
No other name? Jen echoes, pondering something.
How do you like your hand?
I like it... fine.
You do remember, the last time we met, you got a new hand, too.
You're... the... Wait, who are you?
I'm the Walker.
No, but, like, what's your name?
Here, in this place, I have many descriptions. But maybe not really a name.
Where are we?
We're in the Painted Forest.
Is it on Earth?
You climbed here. You did that. So no, we're not on Earth.
But beyond Earth is just space.
Yeah, true. And space is just that. Space. Room to be filled.
Room?
Ah, you're beginning to remember now.
I've been in a lot of rooms.
You have. True fact. I appeared to you as you. I tried once before, or rather, I thought about trying once before. But when I thought about it, it didn't go well, so it wasn't time yet to show you me as I am. So I appear to you as you. Do you remember now?
The gunk, the box. You were the one through the graviton box.
Yeah. It's good to see you again, Jen.
What am I doing here?
You tell me. You're the one that climbed the ladder. You came to me.
Wait. You were there? You say you tried before, or thought about trying? What do you mean, tried before?
Okay, yeah, I'm not sure we're ready to tackle that subject yet.
You brought it up.
Fair enough. Okay, so, sometimes when things don't quite work out, I can change things.
Okay. You were the one that walked with Piper. That's why they call you the Walker, yeah?
I did, yeah. Right.
So, that means you're God.
That's an appropriate label, yeah.
Label?
God isn't really a name. It's like an idea. What you think of when you think of God is close enough to what I am that, you know, in this case, I'll gladly accept the badge.
Badge? Kate? Why are you being so obtuse?
I'm not trying to be.
Your answers are all, like, non-answers.
Okay. Let's try again. Ask me anything. Go ahead. Jen Dash, what do you want to know?
You're God.
Yes.
And the way to get to you is through gravity machines or ladders that lead into the sky.
That's a rough one to answer simply. Okay, I'll do my best. The world runs based on scientific rules, right?
Sure.
Good. So, it's safe to say that the world runs on a particular system, correct?
How do you mean?
Okay, take the rules of thermodynamics. Those rules, along with denizens of others, create the internal system that constitutes life on Earth, in the universe that Jennifer Dash lives on.
You're saying rules equal systems?
Precisely.
Okay. So?
I created a system.
And the system says that gravity machines reach you.
So, gravity's kind of special. It's made up of these tiny little particles that, unlike almost every other piece of matter or energy, pull themselves through dimensions. They're kind of like time travelers or something. Your graviton collider pooled together enough gravitons to pull you with them through dimensions.
So, you live in a specific dimension?
Not exactly. I live in all dimensions. But it's only when you're in all dimensions that you can see, me. Marshall Winston met me there too, by the way.
He saw you?
No. Similarly to what I did with you, I hid myself.
Why?
That's between me and him.
You appeared to me as me.
Yeah, I contemplated sending Joseph further or Itamar Levi, but neither felt right given the circumstance. I thought it'd only add to your confusion at the time. So, Jen, you have this great virtue of having, most of the time, like a childlike acceptance of the world and of yourself. I thought maybe you'd be bothered by seeing yourself, thinking that it was some future you reaching back. But no, you just accepted what you were shown. Accepted what I said.
You said you weren't me when I met you.
Right, but you didn't have to believe me.
I had no reason not to.
No, I guess you didn't.
I say with a smile. And the ladders? How does that work? What's going on there?
Yeah, so, anytime new things happen, people think that the new things are breaking the rules somehow. It's magic, or it's cheating, or it's an illusion. But some things just happen with time, and they never happen before, and they never happen again. They're just singular things. That's hard for humans to accept. In this case, the world's coming to an end, and in that, the dimensions are collapsing in. When they all do, the mass of gravity will be too much for one realm, one plane of existence, and the Earth, the entire universe, in fact, will explode. Well, in a sense. But the consequences for humanity, all of life on Earth, in fact, is the same. Endgame. The dimensions are falling down like a heavy cloud layer. So I put up the ladders for those that needed an appropriate end.
What?
Well, some folks are fine with just a quick finish. Others need desperately for everything to come to a point. Come to a final event horizon. A moment of awe.
Did the Piper climb?
Again, that's between him and me.
I want to know.
Okay. I'm willing to answer any of your questions, Jen. Happy to. But only things that pertain to you, not the stories of others.
Why?
Think of it like a book or movie. Your life has certain themes, narratives, conclusions. The person next to you is also the star in their own story. So yours may be a comedy, theirs a tragedy. Either way, it's not your business to know anyone else's story. You don't get to read their book. At least, not yet.
Why not?
Because yours isn't over.
So, this isn't death?
Death is coming.
Wait, but if you're God, then you can stop it. You can stop death. You can stop the dimensions or whatever from collapsing. You can stop Leviathan.
Jen, I am Leviathan.
Thank you.
Who are you, really?
There's not the mystery here you expect, Jen. Look, I'm real. Touch my hand, pet my dog.
You're the Pied Piper's maker.
Yes.
That means you made Adam.
Yes.
Adam, as in the first man alive.
Yes.
Then you let all this happen?
All what?
This, everything.
Tell me what you mean. Don't leave it unsaid.
I'm putting this together. You... you can't be good.
I can't be?
No.
Why do you say that?
I don't like this. I don't want you to be my father. My creator.
Okay, why not?
I want something better. Someone better.
Why?
Because... Everything hurts. Everything costs. How could you let it go on and on and on and on and on? I looked at a duck mother with her little ducklings, and I smile, and I begin to think to myself, Jen, the world's not half bad. Look at how precious, how beautiful that little duck family is. And then I watch them try to cross the street, and some of the ducklings fall into a sewer drain. The mama, she loves the family, she loves her little ducklings, but nothing is in her power anymore. She can love them until the day she dies, and nothing good will happen. The rain will wash them away, the sewer rats will eat them. I meet someone, and I think they're good. I think, here's a good guy. I think he's kind. I like his smile. But he ends up being a wolf in disguise. He drugs me, or he rapes me, or he hurts me, or he leaves me. And I know I'm not the only one. In fact, I'm the last one, the last generation. It just keeps happening. It's been happening forever. Bad things. Nature itself claws at everything. Life is built on destruction. Destroy your neighbor, tear her down, and you just might have a chance. Survival of the fittest is real and it's cruel. That's what you created. And worse, you just let it go and go and go and go. Wouldn't a good person, someone with half a soul, look at the situation, look at the earth, and say to himself, I'd better put a band-aid on this thing. Wouldn't I do something? Of course I would. Even when I've tried to do good, when I try to be a good person in this life, I still hurt people. Just because you made this world so messed up that even when you're good, you're bad. Even when you try to be a saint, you're a devil. I went to the glass house to save Atticus. I go through that hell to make sure he lives. I was doing it to save. I was doing it for good. For there to be good that came out of all this bad. Sacrifice, self-sacrifice. That's what I was doing. And what happens? Some poor girl dies in my place. She's dead because she happened to look like me. She happened to be my height. No good God could make all this and just let it sit in hell for all this time. Piper, he's messed up, probably more so than the rest of us. But you know what I saw? I saw him do the same thing I did. When push comes to shove, he saved Atticus. He pulled on him, dragged him out of the cold. He's just like me. I think we're all just like me. All of us sick, broken, shambled people. All because you decided to make this world spin with your weird rules and thermodynamics and gravitons and fleas and ticks and snakes and wolves and diseases and blindness and cholera and a billion other horrible things that I can't even fathom. Things I'll never get to know. And I don't want to know. Don't you dare show me any more sorrow, mister. Don't you dare have the gall to stand here walking in this plastic paradise up some mystical ladder and try to tell me it's all for a good reason. And every bad thing is countermeasured by some good deed. Don't you spit in my face with your holier-than-thou lies. Don't you lie to me, God. You may be great. You may have more power than the rest of us. You may be the great God Pan, but what have you done with it? If I had what you had, if I was what you are, if Piper had what you had, he'd undo the Shining Man as soon as he saw what the Shining Man was up to. I get it. You made a mistake. You didn't get the formula right. I'm sure creation is trickier than it seems, but why not just wipe off your mistake and try again? Why not say, hey, I messed up. Sorry, everybody. Let's try again. Clearly, you can make magical fruit that heals everything, so why not do that? Why not do that? Why not do that?
If you had any mercy, any sorrow, any grace, any humanity in you, and you hurt Father Thomas, a man who's had to hold dead babies in his hands, a man who somehow still worships you, who still prays to you, if you heard his screams while they were torturing him, ripping his fingernails out, for what? For no reason, but meanness. For some sadistic revenge crusade against me because my mentor Babbitt tried to unlock your mystical fruit and call down your ladder by killing the boy I tried to save from some weird ghost slave of the Shining Man. How could you let a world continue that allows for someone like Father Thomas to be hurt so bad? Huh? What do you have to say for yourself? What do you have to say for yourself?
I feel every blow of the rod. I was there when he was tortured. I was there every time you were hurt.
Then you're a monster.
Here, I can't take it all away.
Can't or won't?
But the thing that was worst for you, not for Thomas or anyone else, but the worst thing for you. Think on that. Just for one moment. Okay, can you do that? Think on that. I know it's hard. Just try. Think on that thing. Just this last moment, I promise. And I'll take it away.
Take it away? How? It's already happened.
Think on it, and I'll send help. What did you think?
I thought about... I was raped?
No. No, you weren't.
Then why did I just think that just now?
I sent help.
You sent the rabbi, Itamar Levi?
Yeah, I did.
Just now, but...
Jennifer, there is a second death. Its official name is Croatoan. It erases. The bad thing that happened to you, it's experienced Croatoan. And now, you only know that it almost happened. Now, you have only a warning. And look at you, Jen. You acted on it. I knew you would. You screamed when Itamar told you to scream. You did it.
You sent the rabbi so that I'd save myself.
Yeah, this was the way that changed the story as slightly as possible.
This is real? I'm not dreaming?
This is as real as anything, everything you've ever felt, thought, heard, experienced.
You can do anything.
In a manner of speaking, yeah.
I'm speechless.
Why?
I don't think I've ever been this mad in my whole life.
Listen, I can take it all away. But the more I take, the more Croatoan eats at you.
You created this first death. Why can't you undo the second? It's all some weird game to you. I've come to the end only to find you. I hope for something great, something more than this, more than you.
Well, I'm all you've got right now.
Please, there must be something more. This can't be it.
Jen Dash, you're not the only one that plays with the hand they've been dealt.
You're telling me that you're the victim here? That the guy who made all the stuff? The guy who sat and watched the Holocaust come and go? Who sat and watched little children die of famine? You watched as the Lonely Plague got Joseph further? You watched as this
loving man, the man who already endured the death of his wife, this nice man who had to put the pieces of his life together after losing half of himself, but still had two small reminders constantly needing his daily, momentary assistance. This man who loved his son, this father who loved his little chatterbox daughter, you sat and watched as he came home all eaten up inside with plague. You watched as it killed Atticus. He was never the same after that. He gave up on himself because you sat and watched an impossible situation unfold. You watched. You made all this, and then you sit back and watch torturous moment after moment go by. How can you be the victim when it's Father Thomas whose fingers are missing and Captain Alf's sanity that's gone cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs? How can you watch? Now I know, with certainty, you've just proved it to me. You can heal anyone. You can take back the past. Everything. You can take away everything. You took my bad thing away, but you don't take all the others? Answer me!
Just calm down. Ask yourself why you're angry right now. Why are you so angry?
I'm angry because...
I just healed you, and your response is anger?
I just explained. Why shouldn't I be angry?
Who are you angry for?
I'm angry for Atticus, for Piper, for Lorna von Schloss, for Father Thomas, for all the ones you do nothing for.
Are you now?
What's that supposed to mean?
You're mad. I admit that. But you're not mad for anyone but yourself.
What are you trying to do? Are you trying to trick me? You pulling a Miles Faw on me?
No. Why would I do that?
Because you're just like all the rest.
Yes. Yes. Bingo. That's right. That's very right. I am. That's why this can't be more monumental. Don't you see? That's why this has to be a letdown.
Wait a second. You can do anything. And sometimes you do. You can undo time, grow a toe in eyes, the past or whatever. Then you're already controlling everything. Are you controlling me right now?
It doesn't quite work like that.
You knew I'd ask for the rape to be removed, didn't you?
Like I said, it's not like that.
Answer the question. You knew I'd ask that.
I did. But that doesn't necessarily mean I'm controlling you. Not at all.
How's that?
To know you is not to control you. I can know that when given the choice between a candy bar and a lollipop, you're always going to choose the lolly. But that doesn't mean I'm controlling your decision at all.
You're playing games with me, just like Miles would, or the Piper, or the Numbered Man.
They are like me, aren't they?
Stop! Why are you saying those words? What are you doing?
And what is it that I'm doing?
Trying to lead me somewhere.
Where?
You knew I'd think about the rape because... Because you never meant for that to happen.
It didn't happen.
I know that, but... I asked for it to, you know, not happen. Could I have thought something else? Did that happen so that you could prove yourself here?
No.
But you knew I'd ask for that one. Knew that was okay to undo, for whatever reason. Because it slightly changed things, or didn't, or... What if I'd thought of something else? Anything else? Would you have undone it?
Again, it doesn't work like that. Your thoughts are connected to my thoughts. Your thoughts are my thoughts.
You control me.
No. Well, yes, but no. Not like... Mostly no. Mostly no. No.
I'll walk no further with you.
Good. It's fair time for that.
For what?
We've already been doing it anyway, so let's make it official. Put me on trial.
The Trial. Suddenly, the walker was no longer a man, but Ziz, a giant bird, unspooling its feathers against the great expanse. As she did so, the forest ceased to be, but in its place, a room. Four white walls. Now, woodwork, benches, tables, and the walker, as a man, appearing again, in formal attire. He sits on his stool as judge. Jen finds herself the plaintiff on the left. The Ziz, not quite as strong and massive as before, stands like Big Bird in front of his deep brown wood table on the other side of the aisle.
All right. Jennifer Dash, you bring the case against the defendant. Make your case. What say you?
Ahem. Okay. This is weird. I bring the case, Your Honor, against this unnamed god. He made the world. He made me. Much like a 4-year-old child would. He didn't look at the consequences of his actions. He didn't count the cost of creation. Instead, he just... poof. Brought us all into being. He didn't ask our opinion. He didn't make inquiries. And then, Your Honor, to heap coals on his head, he sits back and mostly watches this world unfurl into madness. Take me, for instance, Your Honor. The defendant will likely claim that I'm a case where he did intervene. He may also offer the happy little ditty that I can't speak to the rest of creation because that's his business, not mine. For the sake of the court, and for brevity, let's say I give him that point. He's master and creator. He knows everyone else. Fine. But he let me alone in the dark for the beginning of my life. So many years in darkness. He acts kind and merciful now, taking away this one thing from my past. But he's not going to give me a new beginning, is he? He's not going to undo my dark days.
Is that all you have to say right now?
Yes, Your Honor. I rest my case.
So be it. I have in my possession a written response from the defendant. He says, I've been hunted. I've been killed. I did know the consequences. I did count the cost. I've been hunted. I've been
killed. Objection, Your Honor!
Yes?
How can the defendant say he's been killed if he's here?
You've seen Leviathan, Miss Dash. You see Ziz now. The court asks you, where is Behemoth?
Where is Behemoth? What? Who am I to answer that question?
Yes, indeed. Who are you? The court will inform you now. Leviathan was hunted and killed by St. George of Cappadocia, remembered fondly by many as George the Dragon Slayer.
Oh, and how is that pertinent, Your Honor?
It is.
Oh. Well, what about control? Your Honor, the defendant said that my thoughts are his thoughts. Is it wrong to suppose that the same goes for the rest of creation?
It is not.
Good. Very well. Then I ask the court, how could George do anything else? He had to hunt Behemoth. He had to kill Behemoth. He could do none other. This was his destiny. He was predestined.
Objection! Sustained.
Why?
Miss Dash, the objection was sustained.
Why, Your Honor?
If you are claiming that creation is entirely, utterly dependent upon the Walker, then your own indignation has been predestined, and therefore your words and your whole prosecution would be mute. You would be forced to be mad. Your testimony would be based only on a destiny put in place by the defendant. So your thoughts would not be your thoughts, your words not your words, but his.
But that's not true!
Then you see why the objection is sustained.
What about Piper, Your Honor?
Does the prosecution realize that she's already stated the reasons why using other souls as damning evidence is insufficient projection for this courtroom?
Yes, Your Honor, but I wonder, could we use the Pied Piper as a surrogate? A sort of creature to represent all of creation?
No. That's not how life works. We like to talk in analogies, allegories, tell stories, sing songs, where one particular experience is supposed to represent the whole. I get it. You think, Adam's the first man. He's seen all creeds, all nationalities. He's been around the block. He's the perfect representation of mankind. No, he's not. His life starts differently than everyone else's, and by me, it's gonna end differently than everyone else's. You don't get to take whoever you want and say, this person stands for all of us. No, stand up for yourself. No one can do that but you. There's no one you can blame. There's no one you can point to. For all effective purposes here in this courtroom, and for the rest of your existence, you are alone. Let the jury understand. There are no surrogates. Your life speaks for itself. Hell, there's 7 billion people on Earth. I know them all. All their little eccentricities. Their weird catchphrases they like to say. Whether they like Pepsi or Coke. Or they've never even heard of those things. Piper would be a piss-poor surrogate for them.
You know everyone? How can you keep it straight?
Yeah, I know everyone. I created them, didn't I? How could I not know them? Well, okay, if they've Croatoan, then, you know, I don't know them anymore. Forgotten them, or whatever.
Wait. You said there's a jury. Where are they? Who are they?
Ah, are we ready to change venues again?
To what?
To the classroom.
You have something to teach me?
Are you ready to learn now, Jen? Put aside your anger, put aside your hurt, and learn? Listen, you have one final decision to make, and it's a big one. But I want you to have all the facts before you make it.
What decision?